What's going on, everybody? Thank you so much for tuning in. We're going to talk about Hamas and how the United States of America basically just sided with Hamas. And this happened, I believe, yesterday. This took place yesterday with them siding with Hamas. And to me, it's highly disturbing that the United States of America would do such a thing. Well, I guess not. Not with the current regime that's in the White House right now in the federal government. I guess I shouldn't be too surprised that this is actually happening. Joe Biden and the Democrats, they don't like America. They hate America, my personal opinion about it. And they don't even hide the fact that they hate America. So thank you so much for tuning in, everybody. Let me make sure. Like, I don't know why I've been having these issues when going live here. And it's not even showing up for me again.
On where?
So I don't know why it's not live. It should be there right now. And I'm not seeing it. I don't know why this is so difficult.
It's green. Hey everybody, it is Tuesday, March 26th. Hold on while we bring up the feed here. Before we start talking, I want to give a little update on the big story we did yesterday on Sean Diddy Combs.
Well, do we want to talk about that first?
Yeah, let's go ahead and just give the update.
Really? You want to talk about that first? Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. So,
do you have an article on it?
I do.
Okay, you want to show it?
Yep, I already am.
There it is.
So today, Sean Diddy Combs declares that he is innocent after the federal agents raided his homes. He spoke to the media via his lawyer yesterday. His lawyer said there was a gross overuse of military force as search warrants were executed at Combs' residences, his attorney Aaron Dyer said. He said there's no excuse for the excessive show of force and hostility exhibited by authorities or the way his children and employees were treated. Mr. Combs was never detained, but he did speak to and cooperate with authorities, Will. That is what they're saying. And of course, despite the media speculation, neither Combs nor any of his family members have been arrested or their ability to travel has been restricted in any way. They said that there has been no finding of criminal or civil liability with any of these allegations. Mr. Combs is innocent and will continue to fight every single day to clear his name. But Will, there are some people that are saying, I don't know if Combs is actually innocent, right? Now, one person that spoke out was Usher. Usher recalled living with Sean Diddy Combs at age 14. He lived with Combs for 1 year when he was getting started in the industry. And when he said, the person doing a interview with him said, you were 13, what were you seeing? And Usher said, I went there to see the lifestyle and I saw it, and it was, but I know if I could indulge and understand what I was even looking at, it was pretty wild, it was crazy. The co-host of the show, Robin Quivers, chimed in and said, nobody tried to, you know, some women didn't come along, and Usher said, I didn't say that. What I said is there were very curious things taking place, and I didn't understand it. So I'm sure there's a lot more to come in this story. Well, I think there was another person, too, that was said to be named in the allegations. Let me see if I can find it. What's his name? He was on a show.
Yeah, it was. I know it's on the tip of my tongue. Someone else was caught up in it. Oh, it's on the tip of my tongue. Oh, I can't remember name. I can see his face. Was it Robert?
Oh, come on.
Something. Shannon. I can't remember.
Okay, man. I can't remember. Yeah. Anyways, there's going to be more to come to this, and we'll update you as the story unfolds more.
Ooh. Must be a liberal around somewhere.
We'll sneeze.
Started sneezing all of a sudden. Where are the liberals at? Because I'm allergic to them. I'm allergic to liberals. Liberalism is a problem. So we don't have anything to do with it. Okay. Thank you everybody for tuning in. Look, let's talk about what happened with Rona. Now, when Rona was kicked out of the RNC, I immediately said that she's probably going to become a contributor at either like CNN, one of the government state media liberal outlets. I said that she's probably going to become a contributor. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened. She became a contributor at MSDNC, a paid contributor. And as soon as we find out, because someone... Actually, on one of my other shows, I took up a phone call and the lady called in. She said, yeah, she's a contributor at MSDNC. And I said, really? Because I called it out. I mean, I guess it's no really big surprise, right? I mean, I don't think anybody was really surprised by that because of what she was doing. She was taking all of the RNC money and going over to the liberal media outlets. They liked her then. They were completely happy with her taking money from the RNC and coming over to the liberal media networks, giving them the money. Remember, because all of the debates were on these liberal media outlets. Well, as of today, she's been fired from being a contributor. And I think she only went on one show. Is that what it is? I think she only went on one show talking about different things. And after that, she's no longer there because none of the other hosts would say that they would bring her on. You know what it is? They used her. They know that she's a blatant snake because they use her and now they're done with her and they don't want her around because she did their bidding by stabbing the RNC, the Republicans, in the back. And now they're like, we don't want to have anything to do with her. It's more than just her giving them what they want. Is they know that she's a snake because they put the snake there. They were happy with that snake being there. That's what it looks like. That's what it looks like. Well, listen to what they're saying on MSDNC. And they're talking about how they're so diverse, but yet they fired her. I guess because she was more like them, that we already have enough people that's sneaky and snakish like they are. So they were like, we don't need another snake in our midst. Maybe that's what they're talking about because they said that they want to have people that are diverse. Listen to this.
News leadership has announced that former RNC chair Ronna McDaniel will not be an NBC News contributor. We have a new email and update that's come out just within this hour. So this is sort of breaking news here within our organization on a story that has garnered significant attention and criticism. And what I'm going to do now, to be very clear, is read the entire update from NBC Universal News Group Chairman Cesar Conde. He has written in this new email, quote, "There's no doubt that the last several days have been difficult for the news group. After listening to the legitimate concerns of many of you, I have decided that Ronna McDaniel will not be an NBC News contributor." He goes on to write that no organization, particularly a newsroom, can succeed unless it is cohesive and aligned. Over the last few days, it has become clear that disappointment undermines that goal. The news chairman continues to say, quote, "I want to personally apologize to our team members who felt we let them down. While this was a collective recommendation by some members of our leadership team, I approved it and take full responsibility for it," says Cesar Conde, the chairman. He explains, quote, our initial decision was made because of our deep commitment to presenting our audiences with a widely diverse set of viewpoints and experiences, particularly during these consequential times.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. They want a diverse viewpoint, set of viewpoints, wildly diverse set of viewpoints. There's nothing diverse about MSDNC. There's nothing diverse about them. They're total commie leftists. They don't want to hear an opinion from the right. Or if someone is from the right, because every now and then they will allow Byron Donalds to come on there and he always hammers in with the truth. And there's another black guy. I can't remember the guy's name, but he'll go on there and he'll hammer them with the truth. But you don't see them on there too often. You don't see him quite often on there. So I guess they already fit their quota. And the only people that have diverse opinions that I'm aware of that goes on MSDNC, they're black people. I don't really see anybody white going on there.
And then in closing, this message, which again is brand new, we're airing it for the first time here on MSNBC, having come out this hour, quote, we continue to be committed to the principle that we must have diverse viewpoints on our programs. And to that end, we will redouble our efforts to seek voices that represent different parts of the political spectrum, end quote. If you watch MSNBC, as you probably do if you're listening to me right now, or you follow.
Okay, so check this out. Check this out. This is for he said, if you're watching this, the only reason why you're watching this now, because I'm sharing it with you. And he goes on to say that, well, if you're watching this, because, you know, you're probably here on watching it because the host don't want her. They don't want her. Right. This is what they're saying, that they don't want her. And the reason why they don't want her is because she went on there and she talked about the 2020 election. That's what it really comes down to. You're not supposed to say anything other than what we tell you about the 2020 election. And because she actually said that there was questionable about what happened on the 2020 election, they don't want her there. So if you want a diverse viewpoint on things, wouldn't it be most obvious to actually have a diverse conversation about it? Someone that's going to say something different than you, right? And when did it become a point that we can't even have a different opinion? Like many of us, most of us in the country, regardless of what the liberal left says, most of us know that there was some shady stuff that went down on the 2020 election. Most of us realize this. But you're not supposed to say it. You're not supposed to acknowledge it. You're supposed to be like, well, that's not the case. That's not the case. Don't believe your lying eyes. Okay. I want to play something else for you that's kind of disturbing here. This right here. Now, everyone has heard about this story now. And I'm not even sure exactly how this took place. Do you know how this took place? Because with the guy that was in driving the boat, the captain, did they fall asleep?
So apparently before it was using power. You can visually see when you do the video.
Oh, so they couldn't stop.
It was using power, right. And the lights were flickering on and off. So they did a mayday, right? Because what happens is when they go through this strait, this area where...
It's supposed to lift up, right?
No.
The bridge?
No.
No, this bridge doesn't lift up at all?
No,
you sure?
No.
So a lot of times when they come up to the bridge, see, I don't know. So maybe someone in the chat can let us know. Because a lot of times when they come up to those bridges, they open up like this. And then when the barge go by... whatever, and then it closes back down and the traffic will go. Well, but in this case, do they not have one? I mean, it doesn't look like this. I can't even tell, really. I'm pretty sure someone in the chat can tell me.
Yeah, I don't know much about that.
But it lost power.
It lost power, and the guy that was driving the cargo ship, they have to have a special person drive the cargo ship through this area. It's a local person that drives through. And so he was actually navigating this cargo ship down the river, however you want to call it, and Bennett lost power. Now, this isn't the first time. This, I guess this cargo ship has had a couple of problems in the past. But, anyway, it's under investigation. I'm sure...
Is it a plenum? What's a plenum? A plenum, yeah. You know, I don't understand why... Now we have Joe Biden actually coming out saying that he wants to... Joe Biden wants to come out and pay for it all. Right? He wants to pay for it all.
Yeah, he does. He said, and where are we going to pay? And you know what? Well, the only reason why he's actually saying that, I'm going to tell you why I thought he was saying that. Because it's an election.
Oh, it's election year.
So he's like,
so if this was East Palestine, would he say that we're going to take care of you? We're not going to leave. We're going to be there every single day. Now, and this is another thing that comes up to me, that you've had airplanes where the airplane just bust open the door on the side. Windows have been busting out. There's been mechanical errors with the airplane. There have been mechanical errors with trains. There's been mechanical errors with transportation, period. And now you have this, and Pete Buttigieg is nowhere to be found. And then on the social media outlets, they were like, don't blame Pete Buttigieg for this. Don't blame him for this. You know what? I blame it on DEI. I'll blame it on DEI because they put these people in these positions that's not qualified to do the job. And they're like, let's go along. Everything will work itself out. Everything will work itself out. It's stupid what they're doing, which comes to Joe Biden. Is this where Joe Biden is talking about it? Yeah. So
this is where
listen to Joe here.
Makes a false claim.
Listen to Joe. Right. And this is only bridge is only for vehicles, right?
Yes.
Is that correct? This bridge is only for vehicles. Now, watch what Joe says.
At about 1:30, a container ship struck the Francis Scott Key Bridge, which I've been over many, many times commuting from the state of Delaware in our trainer by car.
Did y'all hear that? Listen.
At about 1:30, a container ship struck the Francis Scott Key Bridge, which I've been over many, many times commuting from the state of Delaware in our trainer by car.
So... he went over the bridge, either train or by car, and there's no railroad tracks on it.
There's no railroad tracks.
There's no iron for the railroad tracks at all on that bridge. So where did he get that from? Is he reading it from a teleprompter, or is he just out here just making it, trying to talk, act like he knows what he's talking about? He probably doesn't even know what bridge you're talking about. Is this a bridge in Florida? Where's the bridge at? Where's the bridge? Just get out there and talk about a bridge, Joe. Talk about a bridge that you went over at one point. What bridge is he talking about?
I don't think he knows. I think you're right. But it's really sad, right? I mean, and that's part of dementia too, Will. Like, you want to recall and remember things, but he really doesn't. So he just makes things up. And he does it all the time. There's not even a train on there, Joe.
Where did he get it from? And then if you ask the question, but hey, we're going to get to that in a second. We're going to get to that in a second about Joe's dementia. What bridge that he's been on that's been demolished like this that had a train?
My intention that federal government will pay for the entire cost of reconstructing that bridge. And I expect the Congress to support my effort. This is going to take some time. The people of Baltimore can count on us, though, to stick with them at every step of the way until the port is reopened and the bridge is rebuilt. You know, we're not leaving until this job gets done. Not leaving until then. So I just want to say God bless everybody who everyone harmed this morning and their families. And may God bless the first responders, who many of whom risked their lives. And the reason I'm not going to take a lot of questions, there's remaining issues that are open that we got to determine what's going to happen in terms of the rescue mission and the like. But
let me stop it real quick. So we're looking in the comments, and so this is not a drawbridge, right? So this is not one of those bridges that open up for them. And someone else made another comment. Who made the other comment about the tugboat? Because the tugboat, this makes sense, because when you're in that location, I've seen it all the time. When you have these big ships like this to carry the cargo, there's always these tugboats. You always see the little small tugboats around. So if they were losing power, where was the tugboat? That's a really good question,
all
too.
All I know is that somebody that knows how to navigate that that river or lake or whatever it is, or I guess it's a river, somebody has to get on board and actually do navigate the vessel. If they're supposed to have a tugboat too, I don't know. That hasn't been brought up. But I have seen that too.
When you look at videos, you always see that little tugboat or a couple of them, you know, one, if not one, you always see a couple of them. Yeah. And it's really amazing because these little tugboats can pull so much.
Yeah. And the reason why the cars were stopped on both sides is because the ship knew it was in trouble. And they actually put out a mayday. And as soon as they put out the mayday.
So I wonder how long before they put out the mayday before they got to the bridge. So did they put out the mayday and then 5 minutes later they hit the bridge, I wonder?
You can see, if you watch the full video, you can see the ship starting to have problems.
It's starting to have problems?
Going on and off. Yeah, you can see the flickering of the light.
So when they made the mayday, my question is how long before before they hit the bridge?
I'm sure they probably said, I didn't hear it, sorry.
I'm just kind of curious. But
it was enough for them to shut it down. And they don't believe any cars were on there. They said it could be.
So they had, because that's a true statement, because they said they had enough time to shut it down to keep vehicles from going on there. So I'm wondering,
but if there was
what's the time limit?
Maybe pulled over on the side and maybe it went down. The six people they're looking for were apparently bridge construction workers.
Joe was here. He was not supposed to take any questions, apparently. But they started pushing questions out there. Why?
Do you plan to go to Baltimore, sir? And if so, how quickly?
I do, and as quickly as I can.
You said the federal government's also going to pay for the repairs. I'm just curious. This was a ship that appears to be at fault. Is there any reason to believe that the company behind the ship should be held responsible? And then also,
that could be, but we're not going to wait for that to happen. We're going to pay for it to get the bridge rebuilt and open.
Wow. You see that? So here's Joe. Trying to act like he's taking charge here, trying to take the lead.
Yeah, and
he's
not doing anything. The reporter asked a valid question. What about the insurance company for the cargo ship? Or are they going to have any
responsibility? That was my thinking. Why are the insurance company not paying for it? Do they not have insurance?
We're not going to wait for that, he said. And I'm sitting here going, okay.
It's because election year.
It is because it's election year. But why would you not at least say we're going to negotiate and talk with them or something, right? Why would you not do that?
Because
this guy thinks that we have all this money. Has he not seen the deficit? I mean, my goodness.
Well, that's what the 87,000 IRS agents for, is to come in and nickel and dime everybody to pay for anything and everything that they want.
This isn't nickel and diming, though.
So instead of sending money to Ukraine, we should have been putting money into the infrastructure. Instead of sending money to Ukraine.
Well.
We're sending billions of dollars to Ukraine, which we should have never sent a single penny personally, unless it's just humanitarian aid. That's it. But other than that, we shouldn't be filling the bank accounts of Zelensky. Well, Zelensky has a boat. I mean, is his boat having power problems right now? Apparently, we pay for that boat. We pay for some yachts, allegedly. They don't care about America. They don't care about fixing America. President Trump, when he was in office, he was talking about fixing the infrastructure. He was talking about fixing the airports. He said the airports in the United States of America, as far as technology, are so far behind. They're way behind. But the Democrats, they don't care, because if you're going to put money into America, that means you're putting America first.
Yeah, and you know,
the Democrats are not putting America first. They're about putting America last.
I think it's also interesting because all of a sudden they asked, hey, Joe, are you going to Baltimore to see the bridge? And he's like, I am making plans to go to Baltimore. I bet he's there within a week. And you know what? How long did it take him to go to
East Palestine?
Yeah.
Over a year.
Over a year, right?
Over a year. How long
and that was a bigger.
Wait. How long did it take him to go to the border? Over 3 years.
Do you think it's because East Palestine probably isn't his base?
Because it's not blue. And it most definitely shouldn't be blue now.
If it was
getting close to being purple, it should have turned beet red. It should be on fire. They should
beet
be angry.
Red.
Yeah, beet red. It should be East Palestine should look so red, it's glowing.
That should be a t-shirt. I'm so Republican, I'm beet red.
Yeah. Beet red. I'm glowing red. Like the sun. I mean, really. So talking about Joe's dementia, right? Joe, he said that he was on that bridge and he drove across it in his car. Maybe he was in his convertible. You know, the one that was in the garage next to the documents, the highly classified documents that they kind of like overlooked. Oh, it's not that bad. It only been there for 30 years. Those documents, maybe that vehicle he was driving. Or at one point he was in the train. The train to nowhere, because there was no train ever there. But in Joe's mind, there was one, which brings me to this. Now, I didn't even know this, right? This is 99.3 WBT radios. Okay. Listen to this. So this is a group of guys, two guys, having a conversation with Corinne Jean-Pierre. Now, I'm just kind of curious. How did they land this interview with her? Can I get an interview with Corinne Jean-Pierre? I would be happy to interview you. Would y'all be upset with me if I interview Corinne Jean-Pierre?
Now, apparently, this is a radio station out of North Carolina.
Yeah, Charlotte, right?
Yep.
Charlotte News Talk, WBT, 99.3 FM. Okay, so listen to this. Would y'all be mad at me if I did an interview with Corinne Jean-Pierre? I mean, let me know in the comments. Let me know in the comments, because I would like to interview you. I'm just going to be honest with you. You know, but she'll probably look me up and figure out, like, I'm not going to talk to Will Johnson.
Well, you violate community standards.
Yeah, because I violate community standards.
So, yeah, I don't think you would.
Thank you, Alan, for the T-shirt. I'm going to plug Alan really quick.
Alan.
Yeah, his wife actually watches.
Oh, that's
how you doing,
nice.
Lovely lady? Okay, watch this. Listen to this. Listen.
When I told a number of people that I was talking to you today, it was interesting, though. They all said, would you please just ask her, does the president have dementia? And so before I move on from that, does he?
Mark, I can't even believe you're asking me this question. That is a credibly offensive question to ask.
But you know people ask it.
Wait, oh, let me. No. Mark, you.
Hey, you hearing this? Someone finally asked Corinne Jean-Pierre about Joe Biden's dementia. And she's saying, oh, that's very offensive. That's very offensive. How is it offensive? Because we're all talking about Joe's dementia. Don't you think it would be better for her to come out and address it directly? Watch this. It gets good. Kudos to these two gentlemen for getting this interview.
You're taking us down this rabbit hole. Let me be very clear about this. For the past several years, the president's physician has laid out in a comprehensive way the president's health. This is a president, if you watch him every day, if you really pay attention to his record and what he has done, you will see exactly how focused he's been on the American people, how historic his actions have been. And so I'm not even going to really take the premise of your question. I think it is incredibly insulting. And so we can move on to the next question.
Gas prices and grocery prices, then. Big topics here in North Carolina. How does Mr. Biden win votes when people don't have as much disposable income?
Look, the president understands. He grew up in a middle-class family, a working-class family in Scranton, Pennsylvania. He gets it. He understands how difficult it is for Americans who are sitting around their kitchen table every month trying to figure out what they're going to pay for. You have to remember, when the president walked into this administration, there were multiple crises happening. There was COVID. There was the economy was in the tailspin because of the last administration, because of what the...
Really? You see this? They blame everything on President Trump when the Democrats are the reason why we had the plandemic in the first place. People forget that Nancy Pelosi and other Democrats went to China.
China.
They went to China before the pandemic hit. Y'all remember? And they still never even talked about what Nancy Pelosi and other Democrats were doing there. Why not? And then all of a sudden we had the pandemic. They'll do anything to get President Trump out of office. They were willing to do anything. And then they're utilizing it to their advantage to say that President Trump is the reason why we had all these bad things happen. The Democrats create every crisis that we've experienced in this country. Listen to this, though.
The President Trump left us with. Now you're asking me about gas prices. The president took action on gas prices. Let's not forget Russia's invasion on Ukraine skyrocketed prices. of gas. And because the president took action, we see we are in a different place than we were a year ago on gas prices. Eggs, milk, seafood products, all the important groceries, those costs have gone down because of what this president has been able to do.
Hold on. Can y'all leave me a comment in the comment space here? I'm looking in the comments. Has the eggs and milk and groceries gone down for you? Has it actually gone down for you? Maybe I'm living in a different reality, because every time I go to the grocery store, I'm like, get disgusted because I can't get the things that I need. I have to sacrifice. Do I want to get more green beans or do I get more toilet paper? Really, I have to decide. I can't get both. Right. And then I'm thinking, well, if I don't get the green beans, do I need the toilet paper? Because nothing's coming out of me. But if I get the green beans, I need the toilet paper because something's coming out of me. But I can't get both. So it's like we're screwed. Am I the only one? Because when I go to the grocery store, I mean, like, Karine Jean-Pierre is straight up lying. You know what it is? They live in their whole liberal utopia and everything is fine for them while the rest of us are hurting. Now, listen to this last bit with her. This is really interesting. It's really good here. Watch.
Eggs, milk, seafood products, all the important groceries, those costs have gone down because of what this president has been able to do. And with that, thank you so much, Mark. Have an amazing, amazing day.
Wow. Wow.
She hung up.
Wow. I mean, Mark, this you listen, I am nominating you to get a press corps badge, and you need to go to the White House. I'm sorry, but you asked 3-4 incredibly salient, important questions that are all front of mind, nothing out of bounds, no baba booing or anything like that, right? And you did it exactly right on. And I don't understand the fragility of this person. I mean,
you know, because she's a total idiot. So Kingswatch says cream cheese was almost $10 a tube. Wow, that's crazy. What was it? I don't do cream cheese. How much was it? I think last time I actually looked at cream cheese in the tube, it was like $2.99. The last time I looked at it, I can't even remember the last time. You're talking about the cream cheese that you on a camera, on a cracker or whatever, and eat that. No. Is that not the same cream cheese?
No.
I mean, that's the one. Is that not, maybe, I mean.
That's whipping cream.
No, not whipping cream. You use cheese in a can. Because I used to buy the cheese in a can. Yeah. You put it on a cracker and eat
cream
it.
Cream cheese is like, it's white. It's like Philadelphia cream cheese.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Yeah, so John put the, he said under Trump.
Doesn't
dollar
matter,
a gallon. Biden. Yep. Thank you so much for getting to correcting it. Biden, all time high, $4.99 and now $3.29. And you know what? They brought it up. I'm assuming that we're talking milk. Yeah. Just like the gas prices, everything went up all time high. And then they started bringing it down just a little bit. And then they say, oh, look, Joe Biden's bringing the prices down. And it's still, 10 times higher than when it was when President Trump was in office.
But you know what struck me by that whole thing is that she hung up on him.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, I don't want to take these tough questions, and so I'm going to hang up now. And she tries to make it sound like she's a good person, right? Like, okay, thank you. Have a great day. Click.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I got to get this phone because I'm irritated with these questions.
That's
now.
Not what a press secretary does. You answer the questions. When people have the questions, you answer them. Right?
Right. At least
and just like in
to.
Her press room, she's like, oh, I'm not talking to you. I'm not calling on you. You don't get to ask me a question. Just because you're uncomfortable with the questions that are valid questions.
Yeah.
You don't hang up.
Yeah,
just talks about, you know, Pelosi talked earlier, Will, about integrity. Is that integrity? Does that show integrity?
No, not at all.
Does that show that she really believes that Biden, she can stand up for what Biden is doing and saying? No.
No.
She's mad because his policies are so bad that people are asking those questions. And she doesn't want to answer them.
No, she doesn't. She doesn't want to answer. Okay, let me move on to this one. This is about Hamas. Did you know the Biden regime is actually supporting Hamas? I mean, that's what they're doing. And I remember when Joe Biden flew his happy tail over to Israel and he wanted to say, I was the first person. I was the first person, you know, to be in the White House to go to a war zone. Right? I mean, really, give me a break. Give me a break. He's trying to act like he's tough and he's taking charge. He's not taking anything. But when I saw him do that, I was telling people, and I know people that are Jewish. I work with people that are Jewish. And I was telling them, I said, don't trust Joe. Joe is a snake. He's only doing it because he wants Jewish community in the United States of America to pour money into the Democrat Party. That's the only reason why he's acting like he cares, because he truly doesn't care about Israel. These are Democrats. They reject Christ. And then after Joe Biden goes over there, then they started seeing little things here and there where you had Chuck Schumer just recently. He condemned Israel, saying Benjamin Netanyahu needs to go away. And then Joe Biden saying that he's not going to support Israel if they continue to kill Hamas. See, that's what this is all about. It's not about killing innocent men and women and children. That has nothing to do with it. It has everything to do with getting rid of the planet of Hamas. That's what it has everything to do with. And the United States of America, if they really don't want to help terrorism, they shouldn't be siding with Hamas. But that's exactly what they're doing. Listen to this short clip with Kirby. And you can't trust Kirby either.
The president makes decisions based on the national security interests of the United States. And this decision to abstain on this resolution is in keeping with the national security interests of the United States. And quite frankly, it's in keeping with the national security concerns of the Israeli people.
So how does it, when you side with Hamas, the national security of the United States of America? I'm really not understanding this one, because we all know that Hamas is a terrorist organization. Oh, but wait a minute. They're evil. They're criminal. That's what it comes down to. Hamas is evil. They're criminal. And what does the Democrat Party do when it comes to criminals? They elevate them. They'll even create a statue for them. Look at George Floyd. I'm just waiting for them to create a statue for this illegal immigrant that came into our country and killed Lincoln Riley. I'm waiting for them to create a statue for him. Why not? You can't call him illegal because you're dehumanizing him. You can't do that. You can't do that. He took the life of an innocent woman. That's fine, though. And I know I'm being sarcastic, but that's how they're doing. Prove me wrong. Prove me wrong. Listen to this report, because they straight up, Hamas and Israel, with the United Nations ruled in favor of Hamas for a ceasefire. And Hamas was going to get, what it was like 7,000 of their prisoners? No, wait a minute, like 700. Was 700 of their prisoners? The terrorists, they're going to get like 700 terrorists.
Yeah, Israel
for said, in exchange for the hostages that Hamas has. It's like 700, 800. It's less than 1,000. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Less than 1,000. They were going to get all of these for like 40 prisoners or something like
that. Yep, yep.
For 40 prisoners. I don't know how you do the math on that. You know, the scale is kind of heavy.
Sounds like that Israel's really willing to negotiate, right?
They're willing to give up a lot of terrorists for 40 hostages. But what did Hamas do? After the United Nations told Israel, you have to cease fire. Look at this report.
Immediately after the UN vote, Hamas informed mediators it's rejecting the latest hostage deal in which Israel agreed, major concession, listen to this, to free 800 terrorists from prison in exchange for the release of 40 hostages. Why? Hamas has no reason to compromise. They have no reason to negotiate while the world pressures Israel to accept a ceasefire. Hamas now saying it's going to go back to its original position, demanding a permanent ceasefire, the withdrawal of all Israeli troops from Gaza, and the release of up to 1,000 terrorists. Israel rejected those terms, calling those demands delusional. The U.S. decision to abstain from the U.N. vote comes days after President Biden and Chuck Schumer publicly attacked Prime Minister Netanyahu. Here's President Trump's ambassador to Israel, David Friedman, on the deep divide between the U.S. and Israeli government.
You know who's listening most carefully to this, of all people? Yahya Sinwar, the head of Hamas. You know, and he hears this. And you know what he says? He says, look what I did. You know, I destroyed the relationship between America and Israel. I undermined the elected leader of the Jewish state. I have brought America to a point of friction with Israel. And that makes me a big winner.
Both Republicans and Democrats are condemning the Biden administration's lack of support for Israel. A tweet from Pennsylvania Democrat Senator John Fetterman is highlighting the war with the far left. He wrote, it's appalling the U.S. allowed passage of a resolution that fails to condemn Hamas. The U.N. has always been unwilling to condemn the group of terrorists, cowards, and rapists. After
So let me stop it right there real quick. Look at this. This is John Fetterman. I mean, Senator John Fetterman. I'm not sure how he became senator, but regardless of all that, why is it that John Fetterman is making sense here? What is going on?
Yeah, I mean, he makes a good point. The UN has always been unwilling to condemn this group of terrorists, cowards,
exactly.
And rapists. That's what they are.
Cowards and rapists.
And
they weaponize rape against both men, women, girls, and boys. Hamas. These are evil demonic people. I don't understand. How is it Fetterman is understanding? He says we must stand with Israel and stop pandering to the political fringe or Hamas apologists. Right? Why is it John Fetterman can figure it out?
Yeah.
John Fetterman's like losing his mind.
He's one of the most unintelligent ones.
My goodness.
Yeah. On Monday, Hamas, Bernie Sanders, and Ilhan Omar praised that UN resolution. It doesn't mention Hamas or the atrocities the terrorists carried out on October 7th. The National Security Council spokesman John Kirby, he told reporters the White House is disappointed. Israel is no longer sending a delegation to Washington, D.C. to discuss a ground operation in Rafah. And Robin Sharla, he insisted President Biden's policy regarding Israel hasn't changed.
I mean,
so, of course, they're not going to send anyone to the United States of America, because the United States of America, what did they do in the UN?
Yeah, I'd be upset, too.
What did they do in the UN?
You know what? Israel's fighting a war. And when you're fighting with terrorists,
and your ally has just rejected you.
Why would you? Why would you send a delegation? They've been talking. Blinken was just there last week. What else is there to say? You made it very clear when you abstained from your vote how you feel. And then you have the vice president yesterday was giving threats saying that there'll be consequences if he enters Rafah. They said, oh, so you're saying there's consequences? And she's like, well, I'm saying there's nothing off of the table. So there's some kind of talks here. Right? And then you're dealing with Hamas, who literally said the only thing they're happy with is if you give them all their hostages and you cease fire. They're not saying we'll cease fire. They're not giving up the hostages they have.
No. No.
How do you negotiate with that?
No.
That's a good question for the UN. Right?
Let me remind you, what's the group called UNRWA that was actually helping kill Israelis on October 7th, and all the information came out, and then they say you can't say that. Yeah, you can, because it's already been proven. I remember Peter Ducey was asking Kirby about the United States of America pouring money to UNRWA. He was asking him, are we going to continue pouring money to UNRWA now that we have the proof and we see that they were actually helping Hamas that day?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, money from the United States of America came out, because they don't want to have that perception. They probably did it another way to put, look, we'll send you the money under the table like this. Just don't get caught again.
Well, yeah. And, you know, it's interesting to me, too, because their whole thing is that there's innocent people in Rafah and the people in Rafah have nowhere to go. Well, why don't they have anywhere to go? Is it the United States' problem? Is it Israel's fault that they have nowhere to go? No, it's the people in Rafah. It's their fault that they have nowhere to go. Egypt doesn't want them. Jordan doesn't want them. You know why? Because they have fed the Hamas terrorists. They have made them political. They put them in political positions. They've made them rule over the Palestine people. They've infiltrated them, and they've celebrated Hamas. So why would you want those people there?
Yeah.
They believe Egypt and Jordan said, we don't want them because if they come to our country, Hamas will be among them and they will destabilize the Middle East.
Exactly.
So deal with that problem.
Yeah. Let me share this with you. And I hadn't seen this until today. Actually, I hadn't seen this until just recently before I came live on tonight. I hadn't even seen this because I heard about the United States of America doing it. But here's the actual video of it happening. The United States of America basically just rejected its biggest ally in that region of the world. Watch.
Contained in document S/2024/254. Please raise their hand. Those against. Abstention.
So what does that mean? What is it called again?
Abstention. She abstained from a vote. She didn't vote for or against.
Just like.
But she didn't veto it.
Basically, I'm just here.
Right.
I'm not going to stop this from proceeding forward. I'm just here.
Yeah. In the past.
And I don't think this has ever happened before, to my understanding. Maybe it's happened in the past, but not to this level, what they want is for Israel to stop so Hamas can regroup and bring more rockets in so that they can start firing back at Israel. They're not going to stop.
No one's
asking Hamas to do a ceasefire. They're only asking Israel.
Yeah, I think they voted now 3 or 4 times, is it, to ceasefire. And every time that they voted for it, the United States has vetoed it. But this time we did not. We allowed the vote to stay.
The result of the voting is as follows. 14 votes in favor, 0 vote against, 1 abstention. The draft resolution has been adopted as resolution 2728/2024.
Colleagues, we are.
So they're all. Now, before I play what she has to say, they're all clapping for Israel to stop, to cease fire. But guess what? Israel's not going to stop. And they shouldn't stop. And it's not about innocent men, women, and children. If it was about innocent men, women, and children, then you would tell Hamas, stop hiding behind these innocent children. Stop using innocent people, civilians, as shields. But you never hear them say that.
Well, let me just say something.
You never hear them say that.
This really reminds me of a verse in the Bible where it says, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing.
Yes.
When we did nothing, we are allowing Hamas to win.
100%. 100%.
Appreciated the willingness of members of this council to take some of our edits and improve on this resolution. Still, certain key edits were ignored, including our request to add a condemnation of Hamas. And we did not agree with everything in the resolution. For that reason, we were unfortunately not able to vote yes. And we believe it was important for the council to speak out and make clear that any ceasefire must come with the release of all hostages. Colleagues, we meet during the holy month of Ramadan. This should be a season of peace for Muslim communities around the world. Just as October 7th, Simchat Torah, should have been a day of peace for Jewish communities. This resolution rightly acknowledges that during the month of Ramadan, we must recommit to peace. Hamas can do that by accepting the deal on the table. A ceasefire can begin immediately with the release of the first hostage. And so we must put pressure on Hamas to do just that. This is the only path to securing a ceasefire and the release of hostages, as we have all called for today. That is what this resolution means. A ceasefire of any duration must come with the release of hostages. This is the only.
So if that was the case, then why didn't they veto it? Why did they go against Israel saying, Israel, you have to cease fire, but we're not asking Hamas. And she comes on here and saying, well, we need Hamas. We need everyone to cease fire. That's the reason why she didn't do it, because the resolution was just for Israel to cease fire. They could have vetoed it. Megan said, no, we're not doing this. This is not right. This is not right. But they didn't do that. And then she get on there doing a little spiel, trying to act like we're the champions of justice here. And we just want everything to be done right. It's a lie. What's happening in Israel? Is anyone even questioning why, when Russia and Ukraine was popping off, how come you didn't see people all out in the streets, all across the world, protesting against Russia? Right? Now, there was little pockets here and there, but nothing like this. You didn't see college universities making people from Ukraine feel threatened, or even people from Russia feel threatened at these college universities in the United States of America. But if you're Jewish, you go to school, go to college or university here in the United States of America, one of these liberal establishments, you may get beat up because they have all this stuff against you. You know, it's all of that kind of died down here lately too. You know why? Because they started losing billions of dollars. So they're like, let's get out of the news. Stop it, because they don't want to lose the money. But they still feel the same way. It's biblical what's happening. Why that little piece of land is so important to everybody else, to the entire world. It's like the entire world is focused on Israel. Why is that? Why is that? You know why? Because God said that's where he will set his foot when he returns. This is the reason. And these are the same people that don't believe in God. They hate the Jewish people for being there. They don't even believe in God. Why not just let them have the little spot, piece of land? Let them have it. Live in harmony. Look, long as they're not doing anything to you, don't do anything. I have neighbors. Look, let me tell you right now. I have a neighbor that lives across the street from me. And one day I went outside, and before I tell you what I saw, this is a couple that moved in. They're nice. I waved to them. I had a couple conversations with them, you know, nothing big. They're a white couple. They moved in after I was already here, and it was like, you know, male, female, and got a little girl. No biggie, you know. I didn't see any rainbows or anything on there, you know. Nothing indicated that they were woke, nothing. When they first came here. And then one day I leave, I get in my car and I'm going and I look up. They have a BLM sign in their yard. They're my neighbor. I don't agree with it. And be honest with you, I want to go over there and rip that sign up and tear it up. But I didn't, because they have every right. They have the freedom to do whatever it is they want to do. It's in their yard. It's in their home. Why not just allow them, Peter? Oh, but they're occupiers, Will. You see, you're mixing it up. They're occupiers. No, they're not occupiers. The occupation, what they call them. They've been there forever. And you know what? Before Moses led the Israelites out of Israel, do y'all know what year that was? See, Moses led the Israelites out of Israel, and God said, I'm going to let you lead to the promised land. Because of their wicked ways, they never made it to the promised land. Not the older generation. It was the young generation that finally made it because of their wicked ways. They were doing golden calves and everything. It's all documented in the Bible. But before the Israelites made it to the promised land, that's flowing milk and honey. You know what it was like before then? It was desert. Nothing was growing there. None of the Muslims communities wanted it. They stayed away from that location. Nobody wanted it. And then the Israelites went there, and then it started flowing milk and honey. And then like, oh my goodness, look what's going on. They're this beautiful here. Look what's going on. We want it. Now we want it. Now we want it. And they say it was called Palestine. It was called Palestine. And that's because of Rome, their viewpoints against the Israelites. But Jerusalem has always been there. And what is the capital of Israel? Jerusalem. When Jesus was here, where did he go? Did he go to Palestine or did he go to Israel? He went to Israel. He went to Jerusalem. They know the history, but they want to try to change it. Some people even say, well, no, it's actually the Palestinians. They were the ones that came out of Egypt. No, they weren't. They're Muslim. They're not. There's nothing about them that's Israel. Nothing. And then you talk about two-state solution. Now, the Bible tells us that in the last days that they will be come up to a peace agreement with a two-state solution, which leads me to this main point of why they're doing all this fighting because of Israel. And they don't care where the people are. I mean, if all the Israel, you know what? If all the Israelites got up and moved to Idaho, they will find a reason to want to destroy Idaho. They really would. But that piece of land, which nothing at one point was growing on, nothing, is rich with resources now. Because they have the technology to get the resources, rich with resources. And that's the reason why they want it. Did you know when people were living in the Gaza Strip, you know, before all of this took place, did you know how they were getting their energy? And you know how they were getting the water? They were getting the energy and the water from Israel. From Israel, northern Israel. They were piping in energy and water. Can you guess for how much? $0. Hamas was charging the people in Gaza for the energy and the water that they were using. But Israel was sending it to the entire location for free. Oh, look at that. It's kind of like the food that's being brought in. Israel brings in the food for free. Then Hamas turns around and charges the people for the food. And people don't have jobs. People don't have money. So they're doing other favors for it. You understand? It's completely sick and demonic what they're doing. And the United States of America siding with Hamas is ridiculous. It's biblical what we are seeing. I truly believe, and this is Passover week, I truly believe that the Israelis are getting ready to sacrifice one of these red heifers. And it's going to represent what the Muslim community, they do not want it to happen, because over 2,000 years, the Israelis have not had a red heifer to sacrifice. The Bible tells us in the last days that they will start the animal sacrifices up again before Christ's return. The Bible tells us this. It says it's not Will Johnson saying it. The Bible says it. And once they start doing the sacrifices, they're going to build that third temple. And I believe, based on everything that's going on. Now, look, I don't have a crystal ball, nothing, but just the way stuff, the pattern of things, the way they're happening. I believe what the Bible is telling us, we're that generation to see this happen. They're going to build this third temple. The Antichrist is going to come on the scene. There's a lot of people believe that we're going to be gone. We don't have to worry about it, Will. Don't worry about any of that. We'll be gone. But I can't find that where it says it in the Bible. People have interpretations, but it doesn't actually say that. All right, we can get in all the whole laundry list about, but people think about the rapture and this and that. The thing is, I had a friend. His name was Jason. He was just in a car accident. He's not even here anymore. So why are people fighting over when the rapture is going to happen or it's not going to happen? No one is promised tomorrow. It almost becomes a petty argument. I mean, it kind of does, if you really think about it, because no one's promised tomorrow. But we're seeing the Bible unfold right before our very eyes, and Israel's in the middle of all of it, worldwide. Why is that? Because the Bible is 100% true. And let me tell you about this really quick. This is and another thing that shows me the indication that the times that we're living in is just the lawlessness. I mean, the blatant lawlessness is being elevated as something good. Have you seen this video? Look at this young lady. She's white. Not that color shouldn't have anything to do with it, but in this case, sadly, I think it does. She's blonde, right? I mean, and I don't know if you can tell, her eyes are red because she's been crying. She is crying. She just got through getting basically assaulted in New York, broad daylight, walking down the street, minding her own business. She's probably walking down the street doing this, just, you know, like texting someone or maybe on the phone talking to somebody. Just, you know, I'm not bothering anybody. I'm just getting from point A to point B. Maybe she was going to get a sandwich. Right? Maybe that's where she was going. Maybe she walked by Jesse Smollett and she needed someone to say MAGA country. Jesse Smollett. And because she didn't say it, this happened to her. This happened in New York City. Broad daylight, everybody. This is disgusting.
I was literally just walking and a man came up and punched me in the face. Oh my God. It hurts so bad. I can't even talk. Literally, I fell to the ground and now this giant goose egg is forming and I'm like, oh my God. It's so crazy.
Can you see it? Look, see right there over her eyebrow? That's not her hair. That's a lump from her getting hit so hard. This is the United States of America. And the government state media, do you think they're going to talk about this? Oh, absolutely not. Do you think it was somebody white that did it? She didn't even say the color. I don't think she didn't even need to say it. I'm willing to bet it's probably an illegal alien because overseas in Europe, when they allow all of those illegal aliens to come into their country, they started assaulting women left and right, especially if they have blonde hair. Maybe, just maybe, whoever assaulted her was watching the government state media and they would kept hearing about this white privilege. And then they were mad at her because she's white, blonde, and she has white privilege. And they want the privilege that she has. For just walking down the street, minding her own business, not doing anything to anybody. I can't, you know what? This is, I was telling my producer when I saw this earlier. Seeing stuff like this, and if I was there, they'd probably put me in jail. You remember the guy that was wrestling down the meth head? He's probably a crackhead. Remember he was always messing with people, hitting on people, doing crazy stuff where he wrestled him down and held him down. I'm willing to bet he didn't die from the guy holding him. He probably died from the drugs in his system, kind of like George Floyd. But they didn't put a medal on him and say, thank you for protecting the people of the city. They put him in jail. You understand? See, this is the lawlessness. The lawlessness in the last days are going to be elevated. We're seeing that right now, and you can't even prove me wrong on it. Because it's happening. When you have an illegal alien kill someone in the United States of America and you can't call him illegal because you're going to dehumanize him? Are you kidding me? That's because of the lawlessness is being elevated. People can do criminal activity and nothing happens to them. And then, to give another example with that, President Trump. In New York City, President Trump, there's no victims, there was no crime, there was no fraudulent, anything took place, but yet they fined President Trump $455 million because he did nothing wrong. But you have criminals killing people, nothing happens to them. Oh, it's perfectly fine. You have criminals beating up police officers on the streets of New York. Now, you know, they hit this female. Nothing's going to happen to them if they can beat up police officers. They can beat down cops. And you expect that something's going to happen to the illegal immigrant because they hit a female? Just mind their own business. They're killing us. They're killing us. And the Democrat Party is all about it. I've said this so many times too. This year is election year. It's going to more than, I don't want to call it out. I don't want it to be the one. But I'm subject to believe that this is going to be the last decent, this is going to be the last election of the United States of America before the Democrats go full stupid. Full stupid. Because if Joe Biden is there again, Christians, Republicans, MAGA Republicans, they're coming for us the same way the Nazis went for the Jewish people. They're coming for us. They've already started doing it. They got political prisoners right now. Hear me now. Believe me later on. Y'all not paying attention. These people are evil. They believe that they have to come get us because of their society, their democracy. We're a threat to their democracy, not the United States Constitutional Republic that we live in, but they're the democracy. These people are blatantly evil. Wake up. That ticks me off to no end. Lady just walking down the street, mind her own business, and someone hits her over the side of the head. Look at that. Can you see it? Can you see it? Broad daylight. Shouldn't happen at the night either. But the fact is, it happened. And she's crying.
I was literally just walking, and a man came up and punched me in the face. Oh my God, it hurts so bad. I can't even talk. Literally, I fell to the ground, and now this giant goose egg is forming, and I'm like, oh my God, it looks so crazy.
You got to get out of New York. You got to get out of New York. You ever see that movie Escape from New York? This is exactly what it's becoming. And even if the camera got the guy that hit her, they're not going to do anything. Or they'll go pick her up and they'll release him within probably 2 hours. Nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to happen. I wonder how long she's going to stay in New York after this. I mean, if you're a female, you can't walk the streets by yourself any longer. My producer looked at it and she was like, oh my goodness. How did you, I mean, just think about it, Shannon. Would you, I mean, we live close to Austin.
Yeah.
Right? Would you feel safe walking downtown Austin by yourself?
I mean, you know, I have light brown hair and I'm white, so I,
you are? I had no idea. But I mean, a serious question. Do you feel comfortable?
No.
Just downtown Austin, because I mean, Austin is like a mini San Francisco.
It actually is worse.
It's actually even worse than San Francisco. A lot of people don't realize.
Yeah.
Do you feel safe walking down Austin? Would you feel safe walking in the downtown New York?
Yeah, anymore you have to be totally careful about your surroundings. Because you just never know. I mean, this came out of nowhere for this young girl. And you can tell she's literally, genuinely scared and upset at what just happened to her. Out of nowhere. She didn't deserve that. Like you said, she didn't even know the person.
No, she didn't deserve it.
But that is the reality that the Biden administration and this liberal woke agenda has created. They've made you hate people that you don't even know.
It's because I believe they hate America.
She could have been liberal for all they know.
She could have been liberal for all they know.
I mean, they don't even know who they're attacking.
She could have been, you're 100% correct. She could have been true blue. She could have been all that blue. And I'm what?
Beet red or true blue?
beet red or true blue.
That's what we got now.
Yeah, so I'm just wondering, you know, is she going to put two and two together? Because the lawlessness that we're seeing is because of the Democrat Party. And people wonder. People would ask me, Will, why do you keep calling them Democrats? Because of stuff like that. It's not conservatives doing it. It's not Christians doing it. It's not MAGA Republicans doing it. Am I wrong? I already know the answer. Only the left would do trans Tifa, going into schools, shooting up and killing people, BLM, attacking white people, just having lunch, they're attacking them. They are the strong arm, the militant for the Democrat Party. It's like Nazi Germany all over again. But see, because they have BLM in their pocket and trans Tifa, They were like, no, we're not the same. We're not the same. We're not the same. But the same tactics. Same tactics. Hey, let me tell you about something that's really awesome. This is really awesome. Something that I've been doing here lately. And this is a sponsor that we have for my show here. And it's called PamperWithGrace.com. I'm going to put it up on the screen if we can here. PamperWithGrace.com. And this is an elixir that I've been taking. And originally when I started taking it, you know, just like anything, I don't take a lot of things because I take stuff and it's like, is it actually going to work? And I've taken many things in the past, but this surprised me to no end. And the first time I took it because I wanted to, it says it's going to help with my hands. Like this right here, there's a laundry list of different things that it can help with your skin, with, you know, the brain fog that you have, improving skin hydration, different things like that. And I was thinking, because my hands, they peel. Now, this is the story I've been telling everybody constantly. My hands peel like no tomorrow. And it's been an issue for many, many years. And I'm like, everything that I've tried, nothing's worked. But I said, okay, let me try it for this. Now, I don't think, and I'm still finding my hands are still peeling. I'm going to be brutally honest with you here. My hands are still peeling. And like I said, it's been happening for many, many years. So I don't think whatever I do is it's going to have to be something that's going to really have to kick in and take effect. But what I recognized that happened with me immediately within 2 weeks of taking this, I've been so stressed out about what Facebook has done to me. And amongst other things, I started losing my hair. I have dreadlocks. Look, for those of you that don't know, look, I'm going to show you. I got a full head of dreadlocks. Look at that. I have dreadlocks. And my hair started thinning out. I'm like, man, this is crazy. I was at the point thinking that I need to cut my dreadlocks off because my hair is thinning out. You started seeing my scalp and everything. Now, I do have the gray up here because, you know, the stress and getting older. But my hair was thinning out. Then I started taking this, not even thinking that it was going to help with my hair. And sure enough, that's exactly what it did. Look at this. My producer was showing this, and they're like, I wasn't even taking it for my hair. And my hair started growing back. My hair started growing back on my head. And I'm like, okay, now I don't have to cut my dreadlocks because I like my dreadlocks. I like my dreadlocks. And I'm like, this is really amazing to me.
And we've only been taking this for, let's be honest, 3 weeks, right? And you can see these results. This is straight from the website pamperwithgrace.com, and you can see before and after. You know, a lot of these are after 90 days. Look at how much these wrinkles have gone away. Some of them are within 60 days. You know, Will, for me, my hot flashes have disappeared. After 6 days, I haven't had a single hot flash in the 3 weeks that we've been taking it now. I've been sleeping so good. Oh my gosh, I was telling Will, I got up this morning and I was like, I slept so hard last night. And that's some of the results that we are getting. Some people are emailing us and saying, man, I have a hard time sleeping. I'm sleeping through the night right now. That's awesome. And look at, you know, besides these results, you know, 60 days, 90 days, such a great improvement, Will, with skin, elasticity, fine lines. You can see acne there, hair growth. But because of the other ingredients, which is cat's claw and azataxanthin, you can see some of the other great benefits of this elixir. And you can't tell me on this list that somebody's not experiencing some of these things. You know, mental clarity and focus, gut health, if you're having problems, you know, using the restroom, stress management. People that have had surgery have said that they actually had a better recovery because of this elixir. People working out, it makes you be able to work out longer and harder. People that are in triathlons, it's improved their recovery and their time, believe it or not, by like 15%. These are human studies that have been done with this elixir. And so it's great. And women, you know, less cellulite. I'm not kidding. I'm actually seeing an improvement with that on my legs. I mean, as you get older, because, you know, your skin changes and stuff, it does appear, and it's actually starting to smooth out, I'm seeing, which is, I'm excited about, but.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I can't wait.
I need to check out my legs. I don't really look at my legs.
You don't have any wrinkles on your face. You know why? Because you're black.
Because I'm black.
I'm just kidding. What do they say? If you're black, you don't go crack me. You don't wrinkle really? Or whatever. Yeah. Yeah. Anyways, I'm just.
You know, I don't know, but on a serious note, everybody, if you go to my website, unitetheamericafirst.com, and you click on conservative shop, you'll see the Pamper with Grace there, or you can go to it just like you see it here, right there, pamperwithgrace.com, take you directly to the website. And once you go there to the website, make sure if you really want to get the best deal, do the subscription, because if you do the subscription, you get a discount, and it's 30 days back money guaranteed. 30 days. So it's a win-win. I'm telling you, for me, I really like it. Like I said, I wasn't even expecting it to help my hair start growing back. That's something I was looking at. And I'm just like, I'm really, so now, because, you know, I want to keep my dreadlocks. I mean, I like my dreadlocks.
Well, I'm seeing more than just hair. I mean, I'm even feeling more energetic.
Yeah, I'm just saying, me too. I've been sleeping a lot better. With what Facebook is doing to me, I've been sleeping a lot harder taking this. I've been getting more sleep, and I need all the sleep I can get. So PamperWithGrace.com, like you see it there at the bottom, PamperWithGrace.com, or go to my website, UniteAmericaFirst.com, and click on Conservative Shop, and it'll take you directly to it. Don't forget, do the subscription because you get a discount. You get a discount, and you'll be pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, this is a great elixir. It heals you from the inside out, not just on the outside, inside out.
Absolutely. Okay, everybody, that's it for me. Thank you so much for tuning in. I will see you on Thursday. I go to Bible study on Wednesday nights. I need Jesus. We all need Jesus. America needs Jesus. And also pray for President Trump. Pray for President Trump. God bless everybody. Good night.
This statement is not evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any diseases, illnesses, injuries, or other medical conditions. Nothing contained herein should be construed as, nor is it intended to be used in medical diagnosis or treatment, and should not be used in place of the advice of your physician or other qualified health care providers.
With key ingredients supported by over 80 clinical trials, the exclusive formulation of the Bella Grace Elixir is changing lives everywhere. Ingesting collagen peptides alone is not very helpful. This is where most products fall short, and where Bella Grace changes everything. Unlike other products, the Bella Grace Elixir controls the gene switches which activate collagen creation and disables the enzymes that break down the matrix. Bella Grace Elixir contains Verisol, the world's best and most clinically studied form of collagen. These elite collagen peptides influence the skin's collagen metabolism directly from the inside. Nature's most powerful antioxidant. 6,000 times more potent than vitamin C, Astareal Astaxanthin prevents the activation of gene switches that drive inflammation and activates the gene switch responsible for cellular repair and longevity, forming bridges across cell membranes, protecting them from free radical attack. Amazonian cat's claw suppresses the enzymes that degrade collagen and our skin matrix caused by oxidants and inflammation. It simply turns the switch off. The world's most studied collagen, plus activating the genes that make collagen, plus switching off the genes that break down collagen, has resulted in something the world has never experienced. The Bella Grace Elixir. Start your 30-day Bella Grace Challenge today.